all, on behalf of the whole committee, I'm sure we all join to want our to wish Marie the very best in her new role as CEO, and we'll see on our bench, but I think it's only right that we acknowledge her moving on, and also to acknowledge the huge amount of work that Marie and all of our officers did within the ERT department. I think certainly it's one of the departments where primarily it has been good news, money well spent. So I think we're really right that we acknowledge that. That said, I also want to welcome Connor on board. Now obviously Connor is, I was going to say, the now face in council. He's really used to all of us, but perhaps not this committee. So I have told him that I'm doing what I do at every other committee meeting. We're sticking to the agenda, and that is how we're going to move forward in the meeting. So just be gentle with him. The other thing that I would just like to say, as Glenn has alluded to, the DUP have actually found a couple of women. And even though she's not on this committee, I just would like, on behalf of this committee, to extend a very warm welcome to Harry Hardy's replacement, Catherine Owen, who has taken over from Harry. And I think, again, we all acknowledge the great contribution that Harry made to council, and I have no doubt that Catherine will do likewise. And I hope that she keeps Glenn and Billy, etc., in line. Have we had any declarations of interest? We have a number of apologies. Councillor Ruan is on holidays. Oh, sorry, Andy. It is an absolute delight to see you back in the ERT committee, and we look forward to working with you. Okay, Andy, sorry. So, no other apologies? No, none that we have. Okay, folks, if we just look at the action sheet from our last committee meeting, and any members arising for it? Everybody happy enough with the action sheet? Everybody happy enough? Okay. Okay, everybody's happy with the action sheet. We're moving on to the enterprise and finance and regeneration items, and these are going to be taken primarily by Jonathan. So item 4 is the Urban Regeneration Forward Work Plan in partnership with the Department of Community. Jonathan, do you want to just lead us through that?
Sure, I guess the obviously the paper outlines the key issues. Basically, we have a forward regeneration plan for the next rolling program for 4 to 5 years that looks at public grant schemes established within your main towns over 5,000 plus people. The department had indicated previously the intention to move to a towns from 2,300 population up. So what we're stating to her is approval to start to work with the Department for Communities to develop schemes for the pay, that'll bring another pay towns into the next term in terms of future regeneration programme. So we're taking approval to work those up with the Department for Communities and obviously bring back proposals and consults based on schemes that will be developed in those areas, term using existing strategies like your village plans, etc. to form the baseline for that work. At this point, there will be no resource implications in the data that comes development and project development. The new resource implications will come back to council.
Okay, thank you. We have three people indicated to speak. Gary, Jacqueline and Kerry. Gary?
Yeah, thanks sir. What are you proposing? I mean, Gary has benefited greatly from these AI teams over the years. So it's important to ensure that we, when they do roll out, that the council works very closely on the quality, that they aren't seen up to speak today, and certainly for the works is on the moment, and certainly the steps of it, not the finished either, not accessible, and we'll be feeding back separately on that to the council, but it's very important that we work closely with the contractor and the council to make sure these schemes, where they're done right, they're good, but where they're left, Thursday or the zones last Friday on, where the streets get the roads very quickly afterwards, so we make sure that they're done right. Thanks, sir.
Okay, we'll look to your point, Gary, and you have proposed, Jeff, and you were next.
Yes, for sure. Yes, well, who is going to propose it, but certainly if you do start in proposing it. Certainly I'm delighted to see the own area here, the village of the Strever, mentioned as well. I think it's very important that these smaller leaders part of the whole Strever, I think over the last 29 years, that the smaller families have been excluded. And so it's great to see that a place like the Strever, for example, is now potentially looking at village enhancements. And not alone for that, enhance the visual impact on the town, but it will also act as a tourism growth generator. Because it's coastal town, just like Warren Point is already seen the benefit of the scheme there, with the new business open. The existing business of Trevor now, as an example, will be the benefits of that and the graphics just. And I can see the restaurant, the bar business, certainly enhanced by this kind of thing. So the sooner that happens, the better.
Are you shaking it? I'm seconding it then.
No, that's Gary proposed.
Gary proposed to you. Okay, Louise, we have a proposal and seconded. I'm going to take in Terry and Glenn, and then I'm going to let Jonathan come back in just for a couple of comments. Terry?
Thanks so much, Chair, and in relation to the paper, to be very much welcomed. I must say, it's quite well concerned. It's good to see Cynthia and Kelly get a wee look and look at, and as I say, long may it continue. But also, the reason as to look at them, to smaller settlements, because the government relates across the water and on the borderline with the number of population threshold. I'm just wondering, is it like across the harbour with that sort of population and others get looked at as well? Because I think it's would prove beneficial to a lot of the villages and of settlements that don't fit the criteria of the DLC. But apart from there, it's already welcome.
Okay, Terry, as I said, Jonathan will come in at the end to do a roundup. So we have Glyn, Willie, and Henry. Glyn?
Chair, just a question for John. I see you're seeing people telling me Castle Valley, Bedford, and Strever. And so, is that all the towns, or is there any others in the future that will benefit from this urban regeneration? And has anybody that has received the benefit of the urban regeneration seems to be prospering well, so hopefully there are as many as possible.
Jonathan, do you want to come in with any points up to date?
We can do that,
yeah.
Okay. So, just to cover also on those points, in terms of the work on his state, I mean, having a lot of the detail, but there's work ongoing on his state at the moment, that's enabling works in advance of the public realm, so hopefully on the day it should be a much higher level of finish when that's completed, and that scheme starts within a year. In terms of the likes of other towns coming in, we're working here off the basis of the population indicators from that come from the department. So those are the towns that are added to the list at the moment. However, if that doesn't contribute to stopping our other schemes through the neighbourhood village renewal through rural development programme, that could be taken into as well. So we will continue to look at other parts of money that do become available, and we're working with the department around future programmes for the new rural development programme.
Okay, Willie, you
were
next indicated, right. And then
Henry. Thanks very much, Chair. No, I welcome the proposal. I just asked a question in regards to, areas that have been public realms, such as Newcastle is a public realm scheme a number of years ago. But part of that, the Newcastle Harbour area, did didn't get any works carried out to that area. It doesn't qualify for rural development funding because it's outside the town centre, and it doesn't qualify for the Department of Community funding because it's, again, you know, it's outside the town centre. But is it possible that the council can write the vote to the Department of Community on the area in regards to who is responsible for funding at Newcastle Harbour area? It's the most historic area in Newcastle. It's one of the main gateways in the town of Newcastle, and it's quite appalling the public realm in that area.
So maybe we can have a look at seeing what we can do maybe in regard to that. Henry.
Yeah, thanks, Chairman. Chairman, I welcome this, and I would echo what Gary was saying about the actual quality of the features that we put in, because if you look at Kilkeel, a very, very successful scheme at the time, but the roads resurfacing that was done, they used an experimental material basically, and the roads are a mess now, and no money coming in. There's no money coming in, also on consultation, Jonathan, the consultation needs to be meaningful, because if you look at what we're doing in Arnold Island, and a huge amount of money, and the consultation was taking place, but the planning application for the scheme was already in. So the consultation wasn't really a community consultation, it was really letting them know what was happening. And certainly there's a bit of discontent now within the village of Arnold Island that the money's not being spent where it should be. So just a couple of points, but anything that we can get in our area is good. Also on what Willie said about Newcastle Harbour, Harbour Road and Kilkeel, where Cunningham's old butchers were, or McCumbel's old butchers and all that area, is outside the town centre, even though it's clearly in the town centre. And it's never received any funding, and it's a mess. I'm sure you'll agree, Councillor. Mm-hmm. So those are just some points that we need clarification on. Thank you.
Okay, and all of those points will be noted with the officers, and hopefully in the coming weeks or over the course of the next couple of meetings, we'll get some address to those. Okay, so everybody is on board with that one. Item 5 then is the Carlingford Lock Greenway. We're seeking approval to proceed to contractor PQQ procurement. And again, Jonathan, you're just going to touch briefly on this one.
Yeah, Chairman, joint project funded through the Interreg with various local authorities. Phase 1 has been completed at Victoria Lock, and now we're going to approve to proceed to the section from Victoria Lock to the border. Allow the council to have an option procurement on the southern side for their aspects of the project. So PQQ at this stage with any reports in terms of financial implications, we're going to go back with the budget is there at the moment.
Okay, we're looking at the proposer and seconder. Again, we have Gary Stokes and Terry Andrews, have both indicated, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. So, let us see this move on, Chair.
Okay.
We're all looking forward to the day when we can walk from our park at the Isle of Basin. Right down in Carlingford. As long as we don't chair anything, we might have to install our customs post as well.
It's good to see a lot of workers into the Greenway. I know I'm very passionate to walk, and I've done the Greenway in Carlingford over the summer. It's a wonderful facility, and if anyway possible, we can support the extension of it. So be it, but it'd be a great pleasure to stagger it.
Okay.
Well,
the crossover point through, but I think we'll crossover on the main road. Was it not practically possible to continue right on down as far as the whatever river it is that is border actually, even before then, we haven't crossed anything. Mm-hmm.
That was the original concept, but that was at the concept stage. When you get into the detail of the thing, the cost was just so prohibitive. Mm-hmm. So it was that was the best cost option in terms of coming back across the road. It would have had a severe implications on the project if they hadn't looked at other options.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry to divert the study, but it's good to the Hobby Garden or the Planning Sport to any sort of greenway, but is there any talk of any greenways further up the country, more towards sort of the Cumbers and Patrick Newcastle land, or is that from this ongoing, or is that from this segue to greenway?
I wanted to see with this paper first, and I have it proposed and seconded. If we take note, Jonathan will have an update for you. So, are you happy in order? Thank you. All right, we have a proposer and a seconder. Andy, we're going to have an update for you on that. And we're happy to move on.
Yeah.
Item 6 says the Down Patrick Regeneration Project. Again, Jonathan, this is yours.
I'm sure through many of you are well aware that the progress has been made in this project in terms of acquiring the additional land connected to allow the development proposal to progress. So that has now happened, and what we're seeking approval is to work with DSC and the Strategic Investment Board to draft the development brief, and then turn the second recommendation is to convene a stakeholders engagement group in the project to bring those proposals through that for local consultation in terms of the view to kind of the development brief launch in this current year.
Okay, thank you, Jonathan. We have Jarvis Noonan. Jarvis?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I welcome this. This is going to be a big really this improvement, and first going to be in the central for the topic. I just want to keep my sister on the rail. First of all, on the bus, you're seeing the PSNI station adjacent to Market Street. That should be Irish Street. So on the rental on that, I don't know. The other thing is, I look forward to this invitation that's coming out to the PSNI and the whole, all the businesses that have it, because we have to get everybody on board, because this is not just one element of the public. And some extra players, but they need everybody on board on this here. I'm delighted to see that we're going to have a breakfast. I thought we were having a pre-meeting more than a breakfast, but that was it, that I welcome that. And I would like to know where and when are we going to have this breakfast? What date is any date for a typical Christmas career in which there will be four Christmas coming out at this certain point in time? And I'd like to know, because the number of people who have indicated to me that they would like to attend and give their views on this centre of education of our public and how it's going to be the whole, we'd like to attend. So we need to have a venue that can accommodate that. So those are just some places where we'd like to really welcome this, and this is really going to make them happy.
Okay, thank you for those comments.
Una?
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to commend and obviously echo Councillor Carson's sentiments. It definitely will be a welcome boost for Down Patrick to get this moving forward. Especially given the issues that we've had with Irish Street businesses. I think it is Market Street car park, isn't it?
On the Market Lane.
Market Lane, yeah. What I wanted to clarify was that we're convening a stakeholder engagement group. Is that different from the existing steering group that we have?
Yes, it would be, because we need to bring in all the traders. We're bringing them out to the Scotia Market Street area. The current group is the current. Steering group is really focusing on the Irish Street for the public ground and the venues. So it would be a center stage group with representatives from other, from Market Street and other areas.
It's going to be a great moment
to find
there, yeah. Definitely welcome that,
I'm
sure. Okay. And I'm sure officers
will. Really there's no date has been set yet, but we'll get that date out and in the various as soon as possible. And that will be where it will just be open to the wider public coming on to learn about the plans.
Okay, thank you very much, Jonathan. Are you happy with that too? Are you going to do a light out for me? Terry?
Well, thank you very much, Chair, and in relation to previous speakers, that I think they've indicated the support for this, and I think it's long overdue. I know that whenever I was 4 or 5 years of age, the design of the police station was moved, not back in 1870, but this is 2019, and I do welcome the fact that there's a lot of proposals that are going to put on the table to bring bring forward the public realm scheme. So it's a good news story, and I wish everybody involved all of it.
Okay, I'm just giving you your face as the John Parker councillor, so I'm sure everybody else is happy enough with that. We're moving on then to item 7, and in fact the next couple of items I think are actually good news and should be welcomed by our small businesses who God knows are under pressure at the minute. So item 7 is the Small Business Sales and Exporting Programme. Again, Jonathan, if you'd just like to lead us through this paper.
Yes. Currently, back in 2017, the Prince of Carriers was head of government at export support for small, local small companies. From very limited head of this, now we're now proposing to bring forward a more detailed programme that will support planning your SMEs through mentoring and workshops to identify and look at the barriers to trade outside of Northern Ireland and building up their business base. So it's about creating connections for the business and new trade. We're receiving approval to procure or to go out to procurement to implement this project. The business case is attached at a cost of £50,000 determined for pre-finance of the year, so that it is in the forward plans for economic development action.
Okay, so to have Councillor Hanlon and Councillor Clark have indicated. Councillor Hanlon.
Thanks, Chair. I'd be happy to propose this recommendation. I think it's good that we are going to support small businesses, just especially with the unfair Brexit at the minute, for importing and exporting.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Clark.
I'm just happy to say.
And you're happy to say. Okay, I'm sorry.
Just a little bit of information. In the past, there has been small businesses that have been assisted and that have taken part in this, is that mostly from one area or right across the whole council area?
They'd be available to businesses across the whole district. There wouldn't be any specific area, you know, it's just the whole of the district.
Yeah, it could be promoted as widely as possible.
And what way are we, say there's 60 consultants instead of 20, what way are we going to select the 20 to take it?
Sure, we'll have to work through that process as part of the delivery agency's term, but the tools of the issue is if they're up to standard, you can either take more resources or look for a future program in future years.
Okay,
how's
the market
here? Yeah, I was just on it, and we fit in with our own council business program as well. You know, when we are based, but maybe it's a question of whether it be tourism or enterprise that we're concentrating on, you know.
Yeah.
Our own plan, you know, that's at the end of the situation where you don't have any choice.
Well, the paper doesn't quite touch it on that, and you know, we can have a look at other options that we bring forward, you know, through the assessment. But we have a proposal in the second. There's a commitment from officers that it will be well publicised and promoted throughout the entire district. So everybody is happy to move on. Okay. Item 8 then is the update from DEIR regarding the Rural Small Business Grant Schemes. Item 8, Jonathan again.
Sure, we've been approached by the Department for Agriculture, the Environment, Rural Affairs to administer a small business support capital grant program in partnership with 10 other councils. Basically, it's a £50,000 grant aid program in the current financial year where the businesses will get 50% grant aid and have to contribute 50% of the grant of the cost themselves, and will be administered through the council. So we would have a series of recommendations where we would accept the offer. We recommend to the council we accept the offer and implement the scheme as outlined by the department to the LS grant for up to 10 businesses, small businesses in the area.
Okay, again, I'm
going to
Clark and
Councillor Hammond.
Councillor
Clark. Thanks, Graham. I just propose we accept the officer's recommendation. I think it's an excellent scheme, particularly, you know, people thinking of starting with small businesses, gives them a bit of time to work it up. So I'm happy to propose.
Okay, thanks,
Graham. Chair, I'm happy to stand up there. Most of our council area is rural. There is a lot of small business that the DAC has had to set themselves up, and any assistance whatsoever will be a fabulous. So thank you very much, John, for bringing us forward.
Thank you. Councillor Hannah, Councillor Larkin?
Just 10 names for that, John. Now, the proposal that the SAC noticed that the applicant expressed intentions out in the next, soon to get the letter of office saying, well, the council meeting can move ahead, and the grant has to be administered and spent by the 31st of March, so it'll be last moving process. So, 31st of March 2020.
Yeah.
So the advertised, probably towards the November now.
Down here is the 27th of November for applications open and closed in the 20th of December. That's the sort of timeline that we're working towards. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I'll be enough,
Councillor.
Yeah.
Councillor
McAteer.
You and I are working on the rural business investment scheme, but I'm just sort of trying to get the difference in this here. You know, this is a capital scheme dealing with capital, but it's capital very business, which is quite small, really. So I'm just wondering, you know, what the bridge is here in this, and is there any help that we, you know, get out there, such as Councillor Hammond, from the, you know, returns of this maybe a smaller when it's starting up, you know, is there a possibility there where you can offer, you know, some sort of help and assistance in the business development, apart from that as well, because especially if somebody doesn't have the effect, they have to reassess the intervention themselves, not funding them, like, you know, I would just say based on the area that's followed up, nothing really happened. You know?
Councillor McAteer, if you actually look on your item, there's a little bit about the startup program from the next item. So if you're happy, we'll touch on that. You know, with the new goal. Are you happy enough?
Well, I think I'm happy.
Right. Well, let Jonathan clarify now that we don't need to then go over the day in the second. Jonathan, just clarify.
Well, sir, the department of this part is under their package and our isolation and social inclusion program was quite specific in terms of the outputs. It is for existing businesses, and that's it's daily care with the potential there of their own paid care, so the clean care spend, small capital grant. So it isn't within the parameter of all that program, but that's it's the part where it's sent in monitoring from the facility.
Yeah,
but then
the
government
is missing ones then,
they're
not
going to be
as much.
Yeah.
Robert. Are we advertising or is that thrown by the Department of Agriculture? What way is that going to be rolled out? And will it be an equal share across the district?
Maybe we get that one after all that, it's across the
district. Right, across the district. Yeah.
And that will be on all the local papers. Yeah, well, thank you.
Okay. Louise, you have your proposal and seconder there? Yeah. Okay, item 9 then, the business startup program. An update from the current program and commitment. Jonathan, that's you again.
Yeah, sorry, there's very detailed reports that's been circulated there as we'll go to the committee on a fairly regular basis. The first part of the report looks at where we currently are against our targets to date under the current business start program. The second part deals with the program post March 2021. The current program ends, and we're seeking approval to continue on with the current arrangement and make an application to Invest NA for additional funding to see the program out to the end of 2022. Term using the existing model, obviously, if we're successful, it'll have to be reprocured again as part of the governance, but that's the proposal there. Term the detail in terms of the targets and the figures are all within the report and the financial implications for the council. Moving forward is front and center to what you've currently committed to, Term.
Okay, thank you for that, Jonathan.
Glenn? Chair, so, as I reckon, this is an excellent scheme to support. I'm just looking at the figures here. There's 9,729 businesses planned since the month. Business startups, 6,616 new jobs, almost 6,000. So, it's substantial there. So, I'm happy to propose that as a recommendation.
Appreciate that. Thanks so much, Chair. Yes, just to recycle that, that's the one that we are currently getting this for. Is that an asset? Yeah.
Are you happy with that?
Okay, I don't see any other lights, so we're happy to move on. As I said, there were a couple of, I suppose, good news stories to help support our small businesses, and I think we should all do what we can to promote people to take part. in anything that has been offered to them. The next item is a service level agreement for Queen's University for an archaeological field course. Again, Jonathan, do you want to?
Yeah, so this project has come forward and has been headed through the Grand Guardian Landscape Partnership term as planned. The rationale of granting into the service level agreement with Queen's is an attempt to locate the routes of the ancient roadway from Tara to Armagh that goes through the district term, and it's a high level survey at this point as part of kind of the funds identified through the current Grindy Bullion AMB budget at a cost of £2,350.
Okay,
thanks for answering. I just welcome the paper and propose the officer's recommendations to proceed with.
Okay, Councillor
McAteer. Yes, Chair, I'd like to second this again. It's very encouraging. This new proposition to be worked ahead for several more years.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks,
Laura Larkin. Thanks, Chair. The gentleman also have already just said to propose a second. So that's just going in addition to any work that's already done relating to that in the past. Is there any information on it? Because I know that locally that there are people with knowledge in relation to the what was the ecclesiastical route that was being discussed here?
So we can make that available, but the whole idea would be just to pull all that information together and do that for those items to try to finalise the exact route that the road truck and just offer to be able to take that, using all that open information and pulling that together. So that would be part of the process.
Okay. That's just for the question.
Okay.
I'm happy to wait for those in a second, Jack.
Sure, I'm not in the sport as well. Just a question there, probably for Cara. This is an area which only met the jury. There's only 2,350 pounds. We're not doing too much in it for us, you know. So, do they need power from us, or is it just a bit more in there and get hold?
I suppose that the title is perhaps
misleading
and not actually
a thing. In fact, they have drone surveys for the flyover, and then there'll be geophysical surveys which are still done, with sounders over the ground to try and pick up different densities of material below the ground to try and plot. Well, there's changes, that maybe there's natural ground, and maybe there's been disturbed ground. There's disturbed ground, and then they're trying to look and see what is or something like that.
I know Councillor Hardy had a bank information. I had a motion in the council that he for gold mines, of course there was. So I'm just wondering, it's hard to look at this strength and then it's going to be a digging match, you know?
No, there'll be no digging match in South Armagh. And we said we're free of the next time. Yeah, you look for lying,
Harry.
Well, I didn't like to say that. Yeah, well, you look for lying on them now, you've heard it. Okay, item 11. Sorry, everybody else is happy with the
snowball.
Item 11 is the Niffin Property Conference. I know this is a conference I went to a couple of years back with Marie. And I have to say it was invaluable in terms of networking and the people we met that had money to spend and were quite interested in spending it. So again, Jonathan, do you want to share us through this one?
Well, sorry, yeah, the details are in terms of the event happening on the 10th, the 12th of March and next year. Part of the proposal is to go along as part of the Belfast region and city days to promote the development opportunities there. We found from our own perspective the number of our proposals have developed further since the last visit to Niffin, and it will be an opportunity to sell some of the development opportunities in the district. So that detail there, sir, and the cost is detailed at £15,000 plus travel, sir, and we recommend that we
the council that would attend. Okay, I'm just going to let Connor in there. Now he is director, I suppose, about 11 and every now and then, Connor.
Thanks, Chair. Just a bit of background on the different approach to Niffin this year from previous what we were doing. We were coming together as a group of councils outside of Belfast to pull all our potential development sites together, categorise them into maybe retail, housing, leisure, tourism, and going with a package of smaller sites. There may be maybe common to go to with a large development site that's maybe 20-30 acres, we don't have that, and a lot of the other councils don't have that either. So what we have come together and we've decided that we'll look at a collective approach in Northern Ireland wide approach outside of Belfast to say, well, here's all the council sites that are maybe suited to tourism, here's all the council sites that are maybe suited to social housing or to retail or to leisure, and that's the sort of approach we're going to adopt this year.
Okay, thanks for clarifying. Andy?
Just a quick question, Chair, and for some of you, what does MIP and what does an animal sign?
Don't ask me.
Yeah. I don't want to say that. The property? We'll find out. Yeah, sure. Okay. Kevin, is it 13,000 for Yuri 1 and 9? Or for all the
countries? 15,000 for Yuri 1 and 9. It's
a holiday.
It's not a holiday, I can assure you.
Sure.
It's
sure. That's the cost of putting together your proposal. No, you right. The operation was just an idea. It seemed to be put together in an organized way. That's all the costs associated with putting that together.
Yeah. I think, you know, with every country throughout the world is basically represented there, and they have, you know, a number of presentations, and then, there's about 30,000 people and developers from throughout the world, and there's different, you know, you have like a tent effectively, and you put on different presentations about what we've done so far, what potentially can be done, and it's just a fantastic opportunity to meet and greet investors and developers from throughout the world who are interested in increasing their portfolio. I know that is where Belfast City Council met the fellow that actually did the George Best Hotel, and was another one in Belfast, and that's where they actually met him originally in at the MIPIM conference. So, you know, it's just an opportunity to showcase. Terry?
Thanks very much, Chair, and do welcome the paper. I'm fully supportive of the efforts that you know to promote our region. I propose that we go ahead with the recommendations, but I also welcome the paper the fact that the next one up Rowallan been topic the next one part are going to be mentioned in the spaces, because the people, especially where our area is, we're sort of like caught between the halfway house, so between Muri and Belfast. So I do welcome the fact that the likes of those parts of the upper district are going to be highlighted as well. So
good work.
I was kind of students to hear about, you know, the public sector offers, or are we talking about private sector sales as well? But we're independent, you know, are we just talking about council own plans, or are you talking about other opportunities, which there are many of?
It'll be both. Where we can collaborate with the private sector, where they have land that they may want us to present and take it as part of portfolio, we'll be more than happy to do so.
Yeah, because I know you mentioned one point there, but you know, but there's been, you know, local, you know, talk over many years about the whole hotel section one point. So we certainly would love to see it moved on and developed.
Well, then any of that would be touched on, and you know, like we would be putting forward a presentation.
Yeah. You know, from the level of property owners that we would see potentially, you know, development, or potential for development, but yet that they are just sitting on it, because I mean, any investment team in this hotel, you know, if we take a little knowledge, you know, properties of land that are dated over the years, we could see where somebody could have the way and the verbiage to develop these.
That's part of the whole development of the portfolio, and that's part of what 15,000 would contribute towards. So we'll be engaging as an estate agent or a property agent to pull together the portfolio, and they will be also liaising with the private sector, and they'll have knowledge of what land exists in the private sector that is suitable for development and will fit in with our proposals. So that's part of the 15,000 will go towards an agent to go around and determine what private and council owned lands throughout the region will be suitable to take to them as a part of our portfolio. So that's where it all comes together.
Yeah, that's really good information.
Gary?
Yes, sir. MIPIM
the Marche International, the professional, I can't remember that.
Okay, we have a proposer, thank you. We have a proposer, Terry.
Chairman, I haven't heard all of the ins and outs, but the intricacies of it and the potential benefits of it, I would second the proposal as soon as they're already gone. Could I ask that Maureen Russell, the owner of Moran Park, be asked if she could contribute, because they have a magnificent plan in place there for the Moran Park House.
Okay, so we have a proposer and a seconder, and everybody happy to move on. Okay, the item 12 is the 5G communications, and again, Jonathan, this is you. We'll let you have a rest of the minute, Jonathan.
Good, so the very detailed report is included in the facts of this term, and this is really, obviously 5G is the next technology that's moving on, and we're doing work currently with all the other councils, 10 other councils outside of Belfast, in relation to pulling fibre and developing, bringing full dark fibre to all of the, to a number of the council facilities in each of the council areas. So the opportunity may arise in the near future around making some sort of a bid to the Department for Culture, Media and Sport around looking at 5G test beds. Maybe you're aware, obviously, there's a notice motion coming to the council in November on this, and obviously there's been issues raised around the health impacts. So sure, what we're seeking here is authorization to work in partnership with other councils to explore how we can make a bid at the test bed, a 5G test bed, should the funds become available. Other departments, DCMS, have made money available elsewhere. It's been able to react to that should the bid arise, and part of that proposal, if it were successful, obviously detail all of and deal with all of the health issues as part of that. So it's not about making a bid to have 5G pilot and ignore all of that. That's all built in with the proposal. In order to develop that chairman proposal, we would need to commit funding around to estimate it to be 10k per council to develop the proposal so the opportunity arise. So that is the recommendation there, chairman, contained within the report.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Clark and Henry then.
Thanks, Chair, thanks for the report. I'm conscious that there is a notice of motion that came before us at all council and coming to this committee soon. I think it is important that we do, have a health check in regards to these issues. And I suppose it's important to have that accurate information when you're discussing the issues with the public, because it's very easy to skirm over. I remember the whole mobile math hysteria that was throughout the legacy councils, and now, they're all in our town centres. That infrastructure is in our town centres, and you don't hear a word about it. So I think it's important that, err on the edge of caution, but at the same time, we need to move on in the real world. There's many countries that have already embraced this technology. South Korea, I think, is the way in regards to it. I'm part of the delegation that we met the communications minister, and we discussed this detail. And he was very happy to see us coming together, the councils coming together, and he was very happy with that model. And he was keen to see if we did get the bid put in, he would look on it in a favourable manner, because he was of the opinion that he would like to see this as a model of good practice across the water, and we'd like to see local authorities working together in a similar sort of deal. So I'm happy to propose it that we do accept the recommendation for us.
Okay, thank you, Henry, and then I have Declan and Jim. Okay.
I'm sure whenever Glenn and I were on the study deal team, the use of this area as a test bed for 5G was a pretty integral part of that scheme. And I did point out at the time that there are people who have very genuine and real concerns over the development of high intensity short wave radio frequencies for mobiles over the likes of 3G or 4G, which are completely different technology. But I would be concerned about our overall city neighborhood if we don't go along with this now. Or how integral is it, Jonathan? I'm just going by what we, you know that we did follow up every single one of those meetings in the bid for the city route. And to me, this was an integral part of the bid, even though I had big reservations about it.
Are you happy to propose to second it, Jim? Henry, sorry, wrong name, Henry.
It's a bit like me, say those.
Jonathan, will Jonathan come in for
it? Yeah, he can't explain it. I don't want us to be used as a guinea pig, that's all.
The proposal here is to be a 10 pencil wide, so it's not that this pencil would be the pen, it's going to be the pen that's going to be done elsewhere, in another pencil area, however it is. Complementary to city days is obviously 5G test beds were in there as a concept and a potential. So really this was about school trying to bring that to the next stage. And but it is in there as part of the city days, so it complements that work.
Okay, sorry, I had a lot of this Councillor McAteer, you were now to
it is encouraging to see this opportunity arising. And I think we can get some comfort from the fact that under the Maastricht Treaty there's a term called the precautionary principle. And the precautionary principle actually it says that known risks must be considered but minimized, and that there should be an alertness but to unknown risks. And that is where it has been accepted through the Maastricht Treaty that I think it's again about it's the unusable backstop. It's a backstop to make sure that technology is actually accepted in the modern world and we don't stagnate progress. There's always going to be an element of risk in everything, but it's measuring the risk and that is something that brings you to change the business. For those that are very interested in this and we receive communication, not to lessen their interest, but I think we need to take comfort from that is there. That's been in the government policy, that's EU wide. And it's never possible to prove that something isn't harmful, but it's a slight difference to prove that it actually is. Mm-hmm. So you're into that dilemma. So,
but are you happy that we
proceed?
Yes, you're happy to second that we proceed with the officer's recommendation, Councillor Hanna?
Chair, I also was on that part of your that met with the minister. And actually, the body is saying is pretty much where I would be too. Yes, there is concerns over health, and the example what I give is over mobile phones is a really good example. Now it's taken for granted, and we will get a good place. Now, I'm saying that for us to use the 5G test bed really wouldn't be a bad idea to sort of give businesses in this area a big opportunity to test the water. And as Laurie said as well, the Minister from London, he did actually say that with the way the councils have come together in Northern Ireland is a big advantage in that we are leading the way for a lot of the rest of the UK. So I'm happy to put my support behind it and the DUP support behind it at this moment. Yeah.
Okay. And again, we're acknowledging that there are issues. It's just about making sure that we're not closing doors at this stage. So everybody is happy then that we propose. Terry, you already came in, did you not? Oh, sorry. Sorry, Terry. Sorry.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. But, you know, in the recent, a lot of those councils have been contacted by people, you know, and concerned constituents. I think, first and foremost, I'm not against the idea of investment, but I do concur with, we need to get that message out first and foremost to the public about health and about risks, because a lot of people have raised those concerns about health and about the effects of 5G is going to have on them, but I think we need to get that message out loud and clear to the public about health and the risks that are up there that maybe perceived, you know, and even that, whenever we're looking at 5G, we want it 3G and 4G because there's parts of our district they're lucky to have a phone, you know, but, you know, I might be saying negative or negative argument here, but I just get into things like those concerns. I think
compliment to me to get that message out to the public with health.
Okay, duly noted. Okay, councillors, we'll move on then to item 13, the voucher promotion. And again, Jonathan, this is yours.
Again, detailed paper has been circulated. Really, through again a link to our local phone fiber network and Northern Ireland programme. So really, the thing behind it is obviously to bring fiber to council facilities and the next council properties across the 10 council areas. The next challenge was always going to be the opportunity to use that infrastructure to roll out gigabit capability into all our premises and buildings and facilities, very much brought about by the private sector. So this is an opportunity that has been brought to us from, again, through DTNS, whereby there is an opportunity to put together a proposal to run two pilots for a gigabit voucher scheme through the full fibre network to explore how these could be, and it really would be, and again, a good test then to see how the technology that's brought to the council facilities can be rolled out into the wider community, and that would really what the whole principle was about, and where the full fibre network programme is about enabling business connectivity, not just about providing fibre on its own to council facilities. So you have a number of recommendations there, Chairman, where the council, on behalf of the full fibre network, would put together that bid, Chairman, and contribute up to £25,000 to pull that together and roll out the pilot, put the bid together and potentially roll out the pilot, which has the potential to lead around about £4 million through the network into the area, Chairman.
Cool. Okay, Jonathan, sorry, I
forgot
to cut you off
there.
Henry,
yeah.
And then Una.
Henry? Yeah. Well, Chair, I think this is fantastic, and this is the type of investment we need in hard structured broadband, not, Wi-Fi 3, 5G, because this is the type of connectivity that can be upgraded over the years, and it's what we need to be putting out into the rural areas to give businesses that opportunity for business. So I'm delighted. And 4 million, Jonathan, potential, if this succeeds or if we can show that it stacks up. But I got under the supply and whatever agreement we have with the Tories in London, that we were going to get 500 million for broadband. Did this money actually come over, or are the DUP bluffing us?
Are you happy to second it or not?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't see any other lights on, but I know right across the board I would say this is going to be very, very welcome, because I mean at the moment we have lots of community centres that have computer suites and internet access. So we move on to item 14, the commercial rates review and commerce going to take us.
Thanks, Chair. This is a paper in regards to the 2019 review of business rates. The consultation was launched by the Department of Finance, and it closed on the 11th of November 2019. It's a complex area that needs a lot of input and a lot of discussion and debate with the business sector. Tomorrow morning, Erie Chamber and BID are hosting an event attended by the Department of Finance Director over LPS, who are managing the review. The outputs from the event will be fed back to the department, but enough from a basis of a formal response So the recommendations is that council officers engage through the event tomorrow and through further events to gauge what the issues are and the concerns are around the review of business rates. We also liaise with corporate services within the department, within the council, to determine what the impacts are for council as business rate payers. And we'll develop a report and a submission based on the items of 3.1, 3.2 and present the council's report and feedback to the consultation.
Okay.
Can I just Yeah, thanks, Chair. Chair, there's concerns about where we go and the rates, the business rate system we have, Chair, at the moment, pretty much based on a 20th century how things operate for business, 20th century people, you know, bought their goods and their services very much in town centres and did everything in town centres. And the reality is now a lot of that has been replaced, you know, by internet shopping. There's no longer a music instrument shop in Uri, a bike shop recently closed. Those things are about music stores as well, been the victims of the rise of the internet, and we're quite ready with the 5G or promoting the internet. So, you know, what would need to happen is that we should actually city centre, town centre rates should be lowered to try and, you know, keep our shopping areas going and replace probably with some internet type, and that would put those businesses, up on an e-bike or even playing field. But without not even if we get the executive here back on the run, without the cooperation of the Treasury across the launch, it's hard to see where this will go. You know, we might commit a nice report, but unless we buy in from everybody, it's hard to see the change. But certainly, we need to see a change because the reality is, in your sector, you can buy a property in the centre of the area quite cheap. The reason why you shouldn't be able to, but the reason why you can is nobody wants them because the rates on them are so high.
Are you happy then to propose, Gary, that officers take part in the event tomorrow and any future events and come back? I suppose maybe at this stage I would say that anybody on the committee here or indeed any other councillors, if they have any information which they feel would be of benefit to officers, feed it through, send them an email and ask that it would be part of the considerations, because undoubtedly we have all had issues raised to us regarding the business rate. So I would say that you should take advantage of that. But Gary has proposed that officers engage fully in this process, Glyn.
Sure. Pretty much what Jai said was where I was coming from on this. At the last rate review, there was a lot of business really that they're not paying on the sector sense of it all the way. I know my personal rates here, my business here, are up nearly 60%, so they're there. Nearly 60%. I'm paying nearly 8,000 per year, and mine's just my big business. So I can understand where Jai comes from in the centre of town. Just on the whole issue, any feedback that the councillors can get, I'm happy to send in some things down there. It might be more rural than what it would be urban, but at the same time, I'm just reading here the rural group and the implications. I'm just reading that confirmed future regard to rural needs has been considered and the proposal has not been subject to a rural needs impact assessment. Does that really mean that just haven't consulted the rural area? Yes.
Yeah. Only the report asking for us to
realize the feedback. Yeah. Just I'm really, how do I put it, concerned about this commercial rates review because as I said the last time the impact on business in this year in South End was substantial. I actually believe it was disproportionate there to the incomes of the businesses around here. So I'm happy to stand up there and all the feedback that's possible there, I think all councillors should get some help to yourselves.
Absolutely.
Just a bit of sort of anecdotal evidence from back away from the old council. I remember the rates pushing around. I remember them saying to us that they had great difficulty in getting information
from business premises owners, especially vacant ones, and the problem was that they were not coming back then, the fact that they weren't getting any rent because there was nothing there. There was nothing to rent. We go to vacant and shut up for years, but they were not responding. And so that was the skewing the figures.
But Declan, again, I don't want to open it up for a full conversation here. What the message here is, we've given our officers the leeway to go ahead and engage fully in that. It is up to us as elected representatives and to do what we can to feed into the process. And we have, our officers are our avenue of feeding into that process. So any information
that's directed. Just make them aware that in some areas you should try and contact most of the business around the towns, because they're the ones that are engaging, and therefore the whole system, this whole thing will collapse if the right information isn't given to them.
Okay. And as I said, if there's any information at all, please feed it through, because there's no doubt about it there. Rates are an issue for small businesses in particular. Okay, we move on then to item 15, the East Border Region. And Jonathan, I think this is your last item with us today, so do you want to talk us through that?
Border Region are through the Irish College of Movement. Organised a study visit from the 5th to the 8th of November this year, Charlotte, and we looked at how third countries can interact and engage with Europe, which is of particular relevance to us given the Brexit. Charlotte, the recommendation is that one officer in Dracula will attend at a cost of £650. Elected members who are on East Border Region Board, I believe, are already.
As a director of East Border Region, I need to leave the room.
I don't think so. Okay, so we have three members of East Border Regions are already going to that, and the recommendation is that we send the director to go on that as well. So are we happy with that, Councillor Stokes?
Happy with Paul, sir.
And Councillor Hannah is happy with the second. Okay, Councillor Stokes, Hannah, you're going. Keep an eye on the walls. If it's anything like the time we went to Westminster Windian and Henry nearly got me arrested, but that's
not
good.
Oh, thank you. Have fun.
You
weren't in front of the television.
I never forget it. I thought it was going to go to one piece. Okay, what happened in Westminster and all that? Item 16, review of designated sites for street tourism, and this is over to Sally.
Thank you, Chair. You may be aware that we have a policy in relation to the designation of street tourism sites within the district. And our policy requires that we review the designation of sites in October of each year. And we take this opportunity to review the designation and also consider any representations that have been made to ourselves. To date, we've received representations in the three sites in the district, and they are Keith Maitland, Spankford, Napier Avenue, and Kateen, and the Square North Point. So I wanted to mark those three sites in a minute, but I want to really look at the recommendation to consider rescinding the following sites, as they have been trading, or certainly the no traders in the following sites over the last 4 years, and my recommendation that the rescind those particular pitches. And they are basically the Square in Hilltown, Windmill Gardens in Ballinahinch, the Flying Horse in Dunpatrick, Leetown Drive in Dunpatrick, the Corsi Way in Dundrum, Cumber Road Estate in Killyday, and Aldburn Drive in Shrigley. So my recommendation is to rescind those dating sites, and they are numbered A to H on your report. So I just want to open that up to members and just ask for approval to do so.
Okay,
Councillor
Hannah.
Chair, I have a few items, and I want to add another one to the list to be rescinded. There were a couple I spoke to you before the start of the meeting there, so there's one on Greencastle Creek, Kent Hill there, and I believe it hasn't been in use since 2014, and it's now marked. We've got a marking service, so that we'll actually lost the parking in that area.
Can I just ask you, we're only dealing with items A to H. Are you referring to any of those items A to H?
No, No, I'm referring to item I.
Right, can we just take the item to education first? Is everybody happy with the recommendations from the officers from item to H?
So
yes. Yeah. Okay. So that is Councillor Curran is happy to propose that. Just an item to H. Can I ask if any other comment? Andy, are you hoping?
Yeah, no, I'm no problem saying, but is there a process once these are, you know, certain I follow today, next week we get an email then, how do we get in here again? So I think, you know, what is the process if that was to come up? For just for my knowledge, I mean, I'm not saying that I've had any end jobs or anything, you know, consultation, but just, you know, I think that these things go, you say these are closed down, and then next thing, you know, someone's looking at it again, and we're just wondering what the process that is.
Okay, and let's
If we wish to rescind the designation, basically what we have to do is advertise that in the local press, advising that, that's what we wish to do so. And then we would take any engagement from anyone that wishes to come forward. If we rescind the designation pitch, basically what happens in the future, if anyone is wanting to come and really reuse that again, they would have to go through the same process to actually designate the site. Basically that would mean that say the contractor says, we would advertise that in the local press. Our policy indicates that depending on what they want to use it for work, say for example such a fan, we would then have to go to any of the local traders that are operating the same type of business and advise them that someone has come to the council to have a pitch in close proximity. And again, take into consideration any representation that would be made to ourselves before it would come to the committee here to make a decision whether to go ahead and agree to re-designate the site or not.
You're happy with that clarity, Andy? Okay. I have Councillor Andrews and Councillor Riley.
Just wanted to close with Roy, covered the point.
So we have the recommendation as officers so far proposed by Councillor Curran. Henry, do you want to come in?
Yeah, I would agree with Councillor Curran.
You're second in it?
Yeah, I'm sure that. It's really important that we remember, we just had a discussion about rates, and it's so unfair if a business is paying 7,000 or 8,000 a year in rates, and a similar business can pull up and pay 7,000 or 8,000 a year. It's just very, very unfair, and we need to take everybody into consideration in it.
And I think this is why everything has been separated, you know, to give for an open debate. So it has been proposed and seconded, Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, it was just a very just on the square, isn't it? Is there a fish trade or not? Has he not come there theology?
We haven't had any trade that in the last 4 years. So we haven't given a license to anyone in the last 4 years, and therefore the answer to that is no.
If you're getting a fish there, nothing. Okay, so we're happy then that we're going with the recommendations. Colleagues, you want to move on then to your next recommendation?
Yeah, thank you, sir. Just to go back, the one feature in Stratford, I've actually included that as one of the dating sites for rescinding, because we did receive representation in that particular one. Moving on to the Napoli Avenue in 15, this pitch is occupied at present, and there's a hot food trader operating out of that. Now, he is abiding by all of his license conditions at this stage, and therefore I'd be recommending that the existing trading conditions are retained at that particular site. However, I have to advise the committee that we have received representation from the existing business owner and also a complaint from one of our local councillors. In relation to competition on the doorstep of a business owner and in relation to the rates that are paid by the business owner in relation to the minimum rate paid by the licensee. But again, I'm happy to open that to the floor for debate on that particular one. My recommendation is that the licensee is not breaching any of the license conditions, so I would have to say as an officer that my recommendation will be that we retain the existing license conditions.
Just for information, colleague, how long has that person been trading from that site?
As far as I know, it's a few years. I'm not too sure exactly the year that particular trader, but there's been just trading there, as far as I know, for a few years at least.
Okay, Ken, you want in there?
Yeah, sure. There has been a bar occasionally trading there over the last number of years. This particularly there is only just started there, but that's beside the point, so it is. Just on the one I'm proposing there, that we've trimmed it, the one on Milky Avenue, and it's simply on a couple of reasons that is. Number one, we have a severe lack of parking, and that's what I would call the Kamoi Square. And the only reason we do have the parking in Kamoi Square is simply because Gordon Presbyterian Church allows the staff from all the shops around Greencastle Street to use the church car park as parking. We have a severe shortage. And just with the way that that pitch has to be laid out, it has to be laid out long-wise, so it does, we're losing something between 8 and 12 parkings, depending on what we lay out. As well as that, I know the hotel, it's not a good idea to have a fast food store or someone just immediately outside it. The hotel can't go with the bedroom on this hotel, but the generator going outside it, so they have. And within maybe 30, 40 metres of it, there is a fast food store, and if you actually increase that to 100 metres, there's between 3 and 6 stores. So, but it's unfair competition to start with, so it is. I don't think it's necessary to have it there. We need the parking more so than we do a street trading pitch. And is there doing away with a street trading pitch in Hilltown simply because of parking? I would propose then that it's exactly the same problem there. So it is, we need parking more than we need street trading, if there is sufficient fast food store or shops in about there. And some of these premises are paying up £4,000-£6,000 a year. This street train takes £930 a year. It's totally unfair competition, so it is. We need to, my basic argument is that, plus we need the parking, so we do something. That is why, that's why I'm proposing that.
Okay, so you're against the recommendation.
Yes.
Councillor Clark?
Sure, I support the recommendation. The trainer, there's no complaints in regards
to
how he is trading.
There is a complaint.
There's no complaints from PSNI in regards to the chip on. In regards to the opening hours and the damage to our business, it only opens up from 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock. That's 15 hours a week.
That's not reasonable.
Well, can I just ask again for clarity, when did the complaint come in? If there has been someone trading there for several years, when did the complaint come in?
Well, we will receive the complaint, I think, early summer time.
Right.
From the business owner. We just advised the business owner that we reviewed these every October, and therefore we advise them that we...
So another business owner that made a complaint?
Yes.
Okay, at the start of the summer, but there's been someone there for several years.
Yes.
Right, so there has been a trading post there.
Councillor
Clark, do you want to add
anything? Yeah, as I said, they only open Friday, Saturday and Sunday. The cafe or the chippy, the Flynn's Cocker, it doesn't open on Sunday. So there's less hours, even some 10 hours, really, that they're trading. At the end of the day, this person, this trader, is paying taxes like everybody else. They are paying their license fee. And if you look at Greater River Towns, there's a number of fast food vans in every town. You know, I think it doesn't be too, you know. And I suppose at the end of the day, it's about the quality of the products. You know, if you're providing good quality products, then people will go to your business, regardless if there's a chip on it or not. But if the chip on is providing good quality produce, then obviously it's going to go to them. And but I think it's unfair to knock somebody around. I worked in the food business vendors. I know it's like at times it's hard to get business as well. It's not as the money spent out of the people think it is. There's many a bad evening and that, the people don't come out, you know. So I believe you should not only try to make a living. So
I
accept the office recommendation.
A proposer then against the recommendation and a proposer for the recommendation. Can we have a seconder, please? Councillor Larkin, do you want to speak on it?
No, I'll have you a second.
You're happy just a second? Have we a seconder? So we need to go for a vote? Yeah, sorry.
In relation to the trade pitch in Hilltown, the difference in it and the one in Kikiel is that the trade pitch in Hilltown is vacant at the minute, and that's why we're it's vacant, that it's been vacant for the last 4 years, so there's a bit of a difference there. The trade license in Kikiel, the trader, his license is at the minute operate from 10 o'clock in the morning until 12 midnight, 7 days a week. Now, that's not to say that he doesn't use all of those hours, but that's what he's licensed for at the moment.
So he could use those if he wanted to. Okay, can we go for those in favour of the recommendation, because the proposal by Councillor Hannah, can we just keep quiet a wee minute? Can we go take a vote first of all for those in favour with the recommendation as put forward by officers, because the proposal from Councillor Hannah is just a direct opposite. So we would take those in favour of the recommendation by officers that the Kilkeel pitch will basically be retained with the existing conditions. All of those in favour, can we have a show of hands for those in favour for retaining the Kilkeel stand, please?
Seven.
Okay. Those against retaining the Kilkeel?
One, two,
three,
four.
Four. Did we miss anyone?
No,
you're abstaining. You're
abstaining. Are you abstaining?
I'm still, yeah.
Yeah, so we have two abstentions and seven to go with the recommendations, four against and two abstentions. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Happy enough? Okay, then the recommendations by officers is carried at this point. We then take item J again, which is the recommendation for the square and warm point. And Colly, do you want to bring us through this again?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Again, this pitch in the square and warm point, it's along the dock wall. Presently it's sort of serving hot food. The council has invested some funds and money in relation to actually removing bollards in place to allow sailors to operate whatever they need to and to prevent bollards from parking in their spot. However, we have received representation from a former councillor on behalf of a local business owner. My recommendation in relation to this one is that we retain the pitch under the trading conditions, but to not allow trading beyond 11 p.m. not allowed trading beyond the trading pitch, which is basically means no table and chairs provided on that site, and the removal of the chip ban after trading has ceased. So as I say, I've got to make sure that those recommendations are adhered to, and for us as officers to monitor those over the next 4 to 6 weeks. At present, the trader is not removing his vehicle in the evenings, and he's been advised to do so, and I suggest we monitor that over the next 4 to 6 weeks. And if he doesn't adhere to those to the license conditions, that we actually have a hearing here, a hearing of representatives, which we're obliged to do so by law, in relation to considering revoking that particular license. But as I said, to give the benefit of the doubt for the next 4 to 6 weeks, and to just impose those 3 license conditions upon you.
Mr. McAteer?
Yeah, just remind me of the hours again.
His trading hours, I think, are from 12 noon to 11 p.m. at the minute.
Every day?
Every day. 7 days a week.
That's what the calendar is, sure. Lots of these people don't do, you know, but that's what the license is. Would that be fair to say that, Colly?
He applied for a license for those hours. Now, when he trades or not, it doesn't do that. But he applied for his license for those hours from 12 midday to 11 p.m. every day.
Yeah,
yeah.
Probably just give some flexibility, definitely depending on weather and stuff, you know. I would imagine that's why they're going to push on the station,
I think maybe it's just, was that for the hours, those hours, always did that for that particular business? Because I think that was the crux of the complaint, really, that it was displacing.
I think in the past they were trading on beyond those hours. He has now applied to trade to those hours, so us as officers then would have to make sure that he adheres to those hours.
Yeah, is that the reason, you know, was it originally 7 days a week?
Yes, it would be on the
same day. I thought it was
yes,
sir. Okay,
have I any other comments? Can we have a proposal with Gary?
Wait,
that
recommendation
is
kind of my chair. There's another issue I want to raise here,
sir. Is it on the agenda?
No, but I've already spoken to Colin about it there, and I need something to do next.
Oh, Colin?
When the report was being written up, there was another site at the Greencastle Street Institute.
Yeah.
And it is vacant and has been vacant for some period of time. Now, I don't know whether you want to just add that to the list. It is vacant at the minute. We are very happy to add that to this, or if you want, I could bring it back the next month and we could go through the same
process.
Is everybody happy that it's added to the list if it is vacant? So therefore, it would go with the recommendation with the first.
Yes, just including those first.
Yeah.
Or, yes,
and what's the address, just so everybody knows? Greencastle.
It's Greencastle
Street,
Kilkee.
Yeah. Everybody is happy that we've taken that then as an item to be added. Okay, and we have a proposal and a seconder for the
1.1. Yeah, I just want to ask you that. I guess with Connor, if there's another taken pitch at Board Estimate, which Connor doesn't seem to know anything about, it's on council property and the council has no knowledge of it.
Well, we'll ask Connor, our colleague, to have a look at that, and if there's anything there, you can bring it back to the next week. Okay, thank you.
Just when we're on the subject, do you mind if I ask just on my ears here? You know, it was mentioned before that trying to expand some of the temporary pitches are more like, you know, right around the front pitch plan. You know, for smaller business, having somebody just doing, you know, one off, you know, coffees or whatever it is. What's the situation yet? Do we have to designate those?
Yeah.
And ask them, you know, can I ask that we maybe do a bit of work on that? Because I know some people are inquiring about, you know,
I think there has been
one of them, and that's all I have. No, because if anyone wants to trade on the state, they have to go through a designation process. We basically have to advertise that address, and we mentioned earlier on, we also have to consult with anyone wanting to trade in the type of the type of goods. The other issue is that sometimes people want to trade on private land, and not just 10 metres back from the road. They can trade on private land without actually having to come to the council to designate a pitch. And they can trade quite legally on private land.
I'm just
Well, again, Declan, if you want to raise anything with Collie after the meeting, and as far as you bring a paper back to us, you know, we'll certainly look at that. Okay, Collie,
One more question.
Please. Go on, you said it
next. I know the council has scored trading pitches in Kilkee, but there actually is 10, maybe possibly 11 in Kilkee. Have all these trading pitches been approved by planning?
Again, could I ask that colleagues have a conversation with Anthony and, you know, rather than a conversation, go and get a few facts together and come back with relevant information.
Because there seems to be an awful lot in Kilkee, that's what the problem is.
It's such a great way, Charlie. Okay, we're ready to move on, Henry.
Yeah,
what's happening?
I appreciate you're ready to move on, Chair. It's just this whole thing with trade imbalance and chipmunks, whatever. I don't want to see any further lose now, but there's an enormous number of coaches now coming up and parking in the Kilkee. A lot of the variety between Greencastle and Green Lawers introduced a lot of Southern Irish ones. And there's no dedicated parking for coaches anywhere in Kilkee. And that's obviously one spot where people pull in there and get their bags and all that to go into the hotel. I think we need to look at tourism seriously, how we're going to develop it. If you go to Enniscor, go to any of those places, County Cigar, the Burke, you'll find all that type of...
Well, again, could I ask you to have a chat with some of the officers, and if you say that there's something we can do to improve tourism, it's certainly something that we will consider. But have a chat with them, and again, we'll bring a paper forward with all the information so we can have proper debate on it. And if you don't like the coaches, send them up to the state building where all the than happy to accommodate them. Okay, colleagues, that's you out of the hot seat. Andy, it's going to be your turn now. Item 17, the Tourism Partnership Marketing Fund.
Yes, sir. The paper provides details of the Tourism Marketing Grant Fund. It was first opened in the last financial year. It aims to encourage tourism businesses to promote their specific offering and encourage visitors to come into the district. It's designed to complement the wider promotion of the destination district that the council carries out. The recommendation is to open a grant fund for the next financial year. We've engaged with tourism businesses over the last few months, and they've seen this is very beneficial to them. And we'll be looking to open that fund up again for this financial year.
Okay, thank you, Andy. Terry?
Thank you very much, Chair. First of all, welcome to the paper, and
I do agree with the sentiments of promoting the district. I'm sure it's difficult to tackle on it, but I did it on my transfer with a ton of them. I do a fine job for our district to fit the audience there. And also last Thursday in the Three Towers, we were present to the launch of a breakfast that had been linked with tourism and NI, and the fact that the turnout we had last Thursday morning from the local district of the local area, over 90 people at the Three Towers, was to be very much commended. And again, it is, I do agree with the key issues, that's less than 2-1, and I would be glad to support the paper.
Okay,
Councillor Burton. Just to follow up on what Carrie said, this is very important, and to see I've got a fund in common to help and support.
You're happy
with that. And also hope spread across the district. Sure.
We're all right spreading the love, all right spreading the love. Okay, so we have nobody against that paper, okay. Item 18, Cluster and Tourism Business Engagement Programme, and again Andy, this is for you.
Yep, Chair, the paper set out recommendations for a business support programme to encourage tourism businesses specifically to develop tourism experiences and develop their own capabilities, in particular around marketing and to sell to international travel trade buyers. We have run similar programs in previous financial years, and this has resulted in the creation of tourism experiences. We've created 13 new tourism experiences to date and supported over 50 tourism businesses. And really, a programme such as this is seen as critical to underpinning the development of the tourism industry here locally and underpinning the council's position of becoming one of the primary tourism destinations as per the tourism strategy. So again, the paper sets out the details of the programme.
Okay, I have Councillor Clark, Hamlin and Burridge as well indicated to come in. Councillor Clark?
Thanks, Chair, and I'm happy to suppose we accept the recommendation. I've seen it firsthand how successful the previous scheme was, particularly in around Tesla and Post Park and Lincoln, the Mountain Lake, and obviously the complementary businesses that are on site there. I think it's important that people do work together, you know, in regards to the tourism product. Because when a visitor arrives, you know, they want that experience. They want almost the holiday book, you know, everything's up laid on, you know, so it makes sense that people work together. We had somebody from the accommodation sector catering, again, mountain bike hire, whatever. So it's really important that everybody works together and promoting each other's business also.
Thank you, Councillor Hamlin.
I'd be happy to second Molly's proposal. I would welcome this as well. It's something I think in particular in the own area would be very welcomed. In terms of there's been quite a few new accommodation offerings have come on board in the last couple of months, and I think if they were able to get that assistance, that they'd be able to develop a package with the Game Thrones and all the heritage sites, etc. So it's a good news story.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Burgess.
Yeah, just to support what you said, Chair. I think it's actually the idea to keep out the market. That's really very forward.
That's good. Okay, we see everybody then is on board.
Councillor Allen. Thanks for having me. I'm sure Chairperson, what I have to do with the previous speakers and agree that working together is the key. I'm getting the message out is I feel an hour of what's going on in the Hollywood exhibition in Dublin. And I've been sat with Councillor Burgess. We were down manning the stall. The fact that football that we had to our stand with the envy of other councils in Northern Ireland and elsewhere, people were very impressed. Again, I'd like to commend our staff who worked tirelessly on the front line and behind the scenes and promoted our district, and hopefully we'll get a chance of getting down and plugging the district again. But again, keep up the good work. We've done a lot of good today.
Okay, so again, that's another paper that has support across the board. Okay, we move on to
items. Should we pick on that? Does that also apply in the cluster and, you know, on your level, which is in our water keep, you know, maybe trimming them up with a Green Castle itself on the Drum as well? Can that also be factored, you know, I know we're on committee working with the private sector here, but that's the public sector in Northern Ireland.
Yep, through the chair, we're doing specific piece of work with ATD, looking at scoping up, making the most of our heritage sites, including the summer site that you mentioned. So this specific program is aimed at developing business capability and capacity and selling to travel trade. But I can certainly speak to you after committee about the specific piece of work we're doing with ATD about those specific sites.
Okay, we move on then to item 19, which is regarding warm point baths, and I'm afraid I have to just ask Ryan to leave. Item 19 is deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of the Scottish Act, the Local Government Act 2014, information relating to the financial or business affairs during a particular question, including the council holding that information, and the public may by resolution be excluded during this item of business. Can I please have a proposer and a seconder to go into closed session? Councillor McAteer. Louise, okay, happy enough.